Well, good morning and welcome with us here today. We're glad that you could be a part of our service this morning. Those of you joining us online, we welcome you and thank you for taking an opportunity to come and gather with us here this morning. We've got a few things today that we will be sharing and having opportunity to give to you as well as an opportunity to get involved with and to be connected with other ministries that are going on around us, but also something that is truly a part of our global outreach, and that is the sanctity of life, thinking about those who are still the unborn and whose lives are being threatened by the process called abortion. And so today we have with us Carol Ann Ferguson representing Choices, and I know that several within our church are actively involved with, and we'll be hearing specifically from their ministry goals, and glad to have her and her husband with us here today, and looking forward to hearing from them in just a little bit. Let me give you a few announcements here so that we can make sure that we are all on the same page, which as we're kind of doing this thing virtual and together and all that, it gets really interesting to make sure that we understand what's happening. And so let me just kind of make sure that we understand what's coming up this week and some of the days ahead. I want to, first of all, just emphasize that this evening we do have Awana, and our youth ministries will be active tonight. And so I appreciate all of our Awana workers and youth leaders being here this evening and you bringing your children, young people. And then also, don't forget, we do have, Kelly O'Rear's class is meeting today, and so that is something that is mentioned there. There's also starting in the evenings as well, a men's study, a ladies' study. If you have any specific questions about any of that, for the men, talk with Kelly O'Rear, for the ladies, talk to Camilla Borma, and they will fill you in on all the details of that. As well, want to just remind you about our business meeting. That's always the fun stuff, right? We like that. But I actually enjoy these because this is a time for us to convey kind of the mission, the vision, some of the things that have been going on, to rejoice and celebrate what God's been doing, and give us an opportunity to just make sure we understand how things are progressing, especially with our circumstances related to the building, related to all the things that are happening. It's a way for us to get caught up. And so we're going to be taking that opportunity on the 31st to be able to just really invite our hearts to come together to see where we are in the process, all things related to buildings and everything that's happening, giving an accounting of this last year of 2020, which I'm glad that we can mark that one off, right, and be done with it, and we'll see what 21 has for us. But this is a time for us to take some focus on what is to come. In light of that, next Sunday, we have Yancy and Diana Pimentel who will be with us, and we are investigating their participation with us to take on the leadership of our Spanish ministry. And so next Sunday, he will be speaking in both the services here, and then they'll be having a time in the afternoon for him to speak for the Spanish ministry. And then on the 31st, in that meeting, we are going to have a ratification vote as to bringing him on as the Spanish pastor for our Spanish ministry. And so a lot of things happening. We'll be talking about that. We've been talking about it. He's going to be coming in. They'll be flying in this Thursday, be with us Friday until next Tuesday when they leave again. And so throughout this weekend, we're going to have a lot of opportunities to brush shoulders with them and to be able to interact with them. So I hope that you'll do that with the prospect of them coming and leading a very vital part of our ministry here, and excited to have them with us. And so then we'll have that ratification vote of that on the 31st. So be in prayer about that. Pray for your deacons. Pray for those who will be investigating and looking at that. You as well, as you ask questions, and excited to have them with us here this week. Look at the bulletin here. Make sure there's some other things that you're aware of. As far as prayer requests go, I just want to ask that you be in prayer for the Pollocks. Rosemary and Matt are up in Indiana, and her father is not doing well and looks to be declining very quickly here. And so they're spending some time there, and just pray for them. Pray for the whole Pollock family. His father passed away just a few months ago, and it's all, no, actually weeks ago, and it's this kind of compounding time here of emotions, and so just pray for them as a whole. Also, good news about Andy Pappas. He is recovering, Lord willing. Hopefully, we'll get to go home here soon, but just keep praying for him. And then there are several others as we go through the the days ahead. Just continue to pray for these different ones as you have opportunity. Kelly O'Rear is going to come and remind us of some things that we have that we're initiating as a church here, some plans for our scripture reading, memory verses, and things like that. I'll let him explain a little bit of that, and then we'll move forward here.
Good morning, church. I want to make you aware of three things that you'll find in your bulletin that we're making available to you. And what we're seeking to do in this is to carry our worship beyond Sunday into the week, okay? So the first thing that you'll find, and I do them, they're in different colors this week, but is a digging deeper. This is similar to what we used to do as far as the through the week that I used to do years ago. You can use this little insert. We're going to connect to Sunday's message. We're going to dig deeper in Philippians, and then we're going to look ahead to the coming passage that Pastor Adam will be speaking through. You can use this. I haven't broken it up into days. You can use it to go as deep as you want, or you can pick one thing and just focus there. You use it whatever is best or works best for you. So digging deeper will be there. Also, you're going to see in your bulletin the week's reading for reading through the Bible. So this is our five-day-a-week Bible reading plan that we're doing together as a church. So you'll find the passages that you'll be reading for that week. If you have a plan that you're working, then work your plan. It's okay. There's no shame in that. But we just wanted to provide a resource that for those of you that don't have a plan for that and your time in the Word, we wanted to equip you for that. And then also, and this is where we're going to go right now, is you're going to see each week a passage listed that's our passage for memorization. That's our passage for meditation for the week that we as a church would like to be doing together. These verses are coming from an app called the Fighter Verses app. So if you want to download that little app, it has multiple translations that you can work from, and that passage is there that we're going to be working on for the week, along with some quizzes to help you to memorize. So you can pick whatever translation you want, but keep in mind with the digging deeper and the read through the Bible and the scripture memory, these are resources, not rules. Okay, so this is not to make you a better Christian and you're more spiritual with the rest of us if you do these. If you have a different plan that you're working through, then you work that plan. That will be awesome. But let's look at this, and I think we have the passage on the screen, or maybe we don't. We have the passage of this week. We're going to be meditating on 1 John 1, 12 through 13. And let me just read that for you. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. That's our passage for meditation and memorization this week. Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you that we can gather as your redeemed. Lord, you have bought us with a price. You love us, and you came in pursuit of us in the midst of our sin, in the midst of our brokenness. You moved toward us in love and in rescue. We pray that you will be glorified in the worship and in the opening of the word this morning and in the fellowship that we have together. Lord, we love you. We gather here to meet in your name for your glory, for our joy. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thanks, Kelly. My name's Fred Holcomb, and I'm the worship leader here at Grace, and we're excited to have you with us today. It's a privilege to be able to lead you this morning as we sing praises and lift those up to our Lord. So would you stand with me as we begin this morning singing the hymn, All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name. With us this morning.
All hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord. Race, ye ransomed from the fall. Hail him who saves you by his grace and crown him Lord of sin and darkness, whose love is mighty and so much stronger, the King of glory, the King above all kings, who shakes the whole earth with holy thunder and leaves us breathless in awe and wonder, the King of glory, the King above all kings. This is amazing grace. This is a lengthy love. That you would take my place. That you would bear my cross. You laid down your life. That I would be set free. Oh, Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me. Who brings our chaos back into order? Who makes the orphan a son and daughter? The King of glory, the King of glory, who rules the nations with truth and justice, shines like the sun in all of its brilliance, the King of glory, the King above all kings. This is amazing grace. This is unfailing love. That you would take my place. That you would bear my cross. You laid down your life. Then I would be saved. I sing for all that you've done for me. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. The King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy, worthy, worthy. This is amazing grace. This is unfailing love. That you would take my place. That you would bear my.
Thankful for that this morning. Thank you. You may be seated. It is a joy to have Carol Ann Ferguson and her husband with us this morning. It's just a joy to always have that before us as we go through this time of the year, but throughout the year. And as Pastor said, we have some volunteers over the years and even now from our church that have been ministering there back when it was AAA and then Choices Pregnancy Resource Center. So it's a joy to have her with us. She's going to come and speak.
Thank you all so much for having my husband Teron and I here. It's always a pleasure. We were here last Sanctity of Human Life Sunday, and it's just an honor to be here with you guys for this third Sunday in January, a day to celebrate God's gift of life. Remember those that have lives that have been lost to abortion, and recommit ourselves to protecting life at every human stage. So far in 2021, it's estimated that already 35,000 abortions have taken place in the U.S. But the good news is our community is doing something about it. In Chattanooga right now, there still is no abortion clinic. There are some doctors that will do abortions here, but there is no abortion clinic. And because of that, Choices has an incredible, unique opportunity in our community because they'll come to us first. And it's amazing because the women that are walking through our doors, 88% of them are considering an abortion. 88%. But this is why your church and Choices partner together. As you all come alongside Choices to equip men and women to say yes to life inside her womb, and for her to begin to view that life and their own lives as fearfully and wonderfully made by our Creator. I know that many of you, the majority of you, are very familiar with Choices, but for those of you who may not be, Choices is a pregnancy center that offers free pregnancy testing, ultrasounds, and we sit down with her and talk about her options. And if she brings a guy along with her, we actually have volunteers and a staff member that will sit down and talk with that gentleman as well. And it's been a huge desire of ours, and you guys have known this and been praying about this, for that men's ministry to grow. And last year, 25% of our appointments were male appointments, which is amazing. So often, when that woman does sit down and talk with someone on our staff or volunteer, she's saying, I can't do this, I can't have this baby because blank. Housing, school, it's just her, she feels she's all alone. Finances, but that's where our community comes together. You saw in that video, it said she most likely at 86% is when she will choose life if she just has one person supporting her. I mean, imagine if she has a whole community coming alongside of her, of organizations like Choices that are providing free parenting classes, free material support through her baby boutique, but also free child support for those that are single moms still trying to get that degree, or those that just need a home, that don't have a safe home to bring their child into, or those that just need a church community to walk that journey after Choices, alongside of Choices. And so that piece is so important, and again, why it is so important for you all as a church and for Choices to partner together through all of this. So I just want to say thank you. Thank you to Grace Baptist and each one of you that are partnering with us through prayers, financial support, helping stock our baby boutique, making miscarriage packages, or volunteering your time at our center. Lives are being saved. So now I'm excited to share with you also, I know many of you have been praying about Choices new building, and at the beginning of this month, we did relocate into our new space that is triple in size, which is just absolutely amazing for the many women and men that we do see, and exciting just to see what God has in store through having such a larger space. And we couldn't have done it without you. We had volunteers from your church putting furniture together, volunteers that are putting our baby boutique together. We just could not have done it without you. So thank you guys so much for your continual support. And so as we embark on this year for Choices, this next year in 2021, I ask that you join us in prayer as we pray for God's continued provision of our needs, that God protects our city from an abortion clinic ever coming. And for those coming to us with an unplanned pregnancy, that their hearts will be transformed not only to value the life inside her womb, but changed to realize their total need and dependence for our Lord, Savior Jesus Christ. So thank you guys, appreciate it.
I appreciate that. I appreciate the ministry that God is doing through Choices, and it's exciting to hear of the opportunities that God is providing for them. And we do need to pray. This is a time when the oppression, the depression, the things that are hitting our society, these are types of choices that people make in a rash decision, a rash moment. And having people like those connected with Choices there to help guide them into alternatives is a great resource. And I'm very grateful for what Grace has done over the years to support and to be a part of that. And looking forward to continuing that relationship as long as the Lord tarries and allows us to do so. One other prayer request that I failed to mention earlier, and it just as an oversight, was the Painter family, just remembering them through this time as well, the loss of Bill, and just continue to pray for that situation of moving forward. And I know he is going to be greatly missed in our church, and was a great asset to our ministry here. I want to go to the book of Philippians here this morning, and to say that we are speaking directly about the topic of the sanctity of life is probably going to be a stretch. I'm going to be honest in that sense. But I do want us to take a moment to think about what this passage and what this book calls us to, and that is a life that is filled with joy. And a heart that is filled with joy is only possible when the focus, the fixation, is upon the person of Jesus Christ. And over the years, I think what we have done as the church is we have relied upon the government to fix the problems that really the church should have been addressing in the needs and the hearts of people. The struggle of abortion is one that no legislation will ever truly be the solve-all, because there will be people who will still choose to go that route instead of protecting the unborn child. That doesn't mean, though, we stop trying. It doesn't mean that we don't stop trying to get before our legislators bills that would truly protect life. But I think at the heart of it, the real change that will come about is when the heart of a person is truly transformed by the regeneration, the power of Jesus Christ. And when a person comes into confrontation with the Holy Spirit's teaching, that what the Spirit of God is trying to guide them along, to understand the value of life. And the value of life is not truly measured in the sense of me teaching that. It's something that we are understanding because it's innate in us. It's a design of ours to understand the value of life. And so what we find in all of Scripture is the call to the protection, to the value, the sense of what God has made us in His image, designed by a Creator God, to find a relationship with Him so that ultimately we can find joy. In the book of Philippians, we come to a study here that we're going to be in for a little while, and I want to begin in Philippians chapter 1. We're going to read the first 11 verses just to give us a little bit of context, get us into this passage a little bit, but we're going to focus primarily on just the introduction here today and thinking about some things that Paul comes to us with in this study. In Philippians chapter 1 and verse 1, it says, Paul and Timothy, bondservants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi, including the overseers and deacons, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always offering prayer with joy in my every prayer for you all, in view of your participation in the gospel from the first day until now. For I am confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus. For it is only right for me to feel this way about you all, because I have you in my heart, since both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, you are all partakers of grace with me. For God is my witness how I long for you all with the affection of Christ Jesus. And this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in real knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve the things that are excellent in order to be sincere and blameless until the day of Christ, having been filled with the fruit of righteousness, which comes through Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God. Father, I pray as we open your word this morning, as we take an opportunity to examine our relationship with you, to think about how that relationship then influences the world to the point where we have opportunities to interact with young men and women, those going through points of decision, just like getting an abortion, or whether it's in any other point of contact, Lord, that we would get our eyes to see the opportunities that are in front of us, that we would behave as the church that you have established. But Lord, as each individual comes into this understanding, Lord, it's about my participation. It's about my relationship with you. Lord, I ask that you'll help us to examine that today and guide us in this process of thought. And it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen. Now today we're getting ready to embark on a New Testament journey, a bit of application, hopefully even a bit of clarification on what we find in so much of Scripture. If you were to go into the book of Ecclesiastes and read through the book of Ecclesiastes and listen to Solomon as he, in many ways, enunciates more questions than he even has answers for, you're going to find that in some ways, I find that the book of Philippians answers a lot of his questions. You can go to a book like the book of Job, and you can hear Job in his interaction with his so-called friends, and you can hear how he interacts with them, and the questions, the debate, the surmisings about how God deals with us and how we are to deal in this world, and where is the place of righteousness, and where is the place of ungodliness, and what is the benchmark? I think of the aspects of the questions that a skeptic Christian who is in the middle of hardship and strife and in uncertain days like what we're facing today. And then we can evaluate the pursuit of even our own lives. And Philippians helps us to evaluate our ambitions, helps us to evaluate our goals for life. So why do the good suffer? And why are we suffering? And why should I care and not just live in the vanity and the emptiness and let the world just pass me by? Why is it that I have to care so deeply? And over the course of this book study of Philippians, we're going to see Paul's motivation as he writes to this church, to these believers in the area surrounding Philippi. And as you recall, while Paul was in Philippi, they led an individual there by the name of Lydia. They led a Philippian jailer, and many within their own households were coming to Christ by faith. And there is a strong possibility that several even of those in the prison received Christ. Now, that's speculation. But we're now reading an epistle. We're reading a letter. Somebody has written a letter, and we're reading somebody else's mail. This is something that was written by Paul and by Timothy. Timothy most likely is acting as Paul's secretary or scribe in this. But what I want to do this morning is I want you to ask yourself this question first. To whom is Paul speaking? Before we get into all the rest of the ingredients of the introduction, and there's some great things here even in the words that Paul chooses to use, I think it's important for us to make sure that, wait a minute, should I even be reading this? You ever opened up the book of the Bible and asked yourself, okay, does this apply to me? And I'm going to be very quick to tell you, it's God's word, it's what he has inspired, it is for us, it is something he wants you to know, it is written to you. But in what way does it apply? And so the audience is very important in this. The greeting is very similar to some of Paul's other epistles. There are some differences in the way he words things. And it's always important to note to whom the letter is addressed. Who is the audience? Now, let me ask you, have you ever accidentally, or maybe even for some of you on purpose, read somebody else's mail? We just recently moved. It was a year ago. I met Carol Ann and her husband, and they came into what was Grace Baptist Church's facility on that January morning. Little did we know what 4 months later would look like, right? And so we moved into our home back at the end of, right at the very end of December. To this day, I am still getting somebody else's mail. I have put more letters back in the mailbox. They don't live here. They don't live here. So the other day, I just opened up the letter. I got tired of looking. It wasn't anything important, believe you me. But it was curious. I was just wondering who this was. And it wasn't a letter, a personal letter, so don't think I was doing that, anything fraudulent, okay? But at the same point, it was just one of those things where it's like very tempting. You get all these letters, these pieces of mail for somebody else. My boys accuse their mother of constantly opening their mail, but it's just because it's by accident. Now, in the case of this epistle, most epistles were written really for an understanding that they would be passed around. And as these letters were collected and sent into regions, they would go home with someone and someone would copy them and then they would start to be sent out. And you have to understand, it wasn't until nearly the 200s, almost in the 300s, before we actually had church buildings where people would gather in very large local assemblies. It was all of these house churches that were all throughout the city of Philippi. And Philippi was not a small city. And so this letter comes, and somebody in Philippi gets the letter. Maybe it was Lydia. Maybe it was the Philippian jailer. Whoever received it in that initial setting gets it. And they begin then to transcribe it, and it begins to pass around to these other churches within the city of Philippi. And before long, all of them have a copy. And that's how we saw the journey of the gospel go forward. All of these epistles started to be multiple copies and would leave those cities and go into other regions. And over time, Philippi, this letter to Philippi, began to disperse itself and to reach other parts even of the region. So whom did Paul address here? Back in verse 1, he talks about it in this way. This is Paul and Timothy, bondservants of Christ, to all the saints. And in that grouping there, he includes two other individual settings, two other individual occupations, the overseers and the deacons. And so you find these three contexts of address: saints in general, but specifically out of the saints, the overseers and the deacons. And if you look at it, this is one of the only times that Paul ever does this in introduction to his letter, where he singles out specific offices of a specific group of people. Now, it's not unusual for him to address us as saints, because as saints, that's something that even in the book of Ephesians and other places, he will pull them together and say, I'm writing to you as the saints. And what we're going to do as we introduce this book study is we're going to examine the people that Paul is addressing. And what I want you to ask yourself is this: is it appropriate for you to be reading these people's mail or not? If you were sitting in the church there at Philippi, this letter is introduced and it begins to read, would it apply to you? And if it doesn't, well, why not? We're going to focus on the larger group of this entirety of the group generally, and that's the group saints. And thinking about the saints, in our way of thinking today, we use this term to address people who are somehow viewed as being holy or distinct, or somehow they display great attributes of spiritual sacrifice. The lady is a saint, or you know, the man is no saint. You know, we kind of compare and contrast and thinking about it in that way. You know, that little one acted like a real saint. I never really heard that about my kids. But in any case, you know, we make these references to describe their conduct and the way of life. Some denominations will venerate some so-called saints to iconic classification, to statues and namesakes of buildings and cathedrals and college campuses. So was Paul somehow singling out a select group, a chosen few, an honor guard of sorts from within the people of Philippi? And in short, the answer is no. The language is very similar to how God addresses the people of Israel over in Exodus chapter 19 and verse 6, when he says, and you shall be to me a kingdom of priests, a holy nation. These are the words that you shall speak to the sons of Israel. This idea of being a group of people, a people called out, those that would be called for a specific purpose as an identifiable collection of individuals. It is a reference to being God's people, a holy people, or as Paul puts it, being in Christ. And the relationship that we have with God has set us apart. The relationship that we share with God sets us apart, distinct from the rest of the world around us. The first use of this word in the New Testament as a way of describing the church was used in Acts chapter 9 and verse 13, where Ananias is speaking of Saul, who would eventually become this Paul. You remember that part in Acts, you know, where he has received a vision from God that he's supposed to go to Saul, talk to him, share with him the good news of the gospel, because God has saved him to bring him to a place where he's going to be a minister to the Gentiles. Ananias is like wigging out. He said, wait a minute, hold on. This is the guy that has been persecuting the saints. The word translated as saints comes from a word which means to cleanse. It means to be cleansed either from guilt by a propitiatory sacrifice, a satisfactory sacrifice, or for some inward pollution. This is the idea of cleansing, to be cleansed. It also speaks of consecration, the idea of being set apart for a specific purpose. There's an old writer that I love to read. His name is John Eady. And in one of his commentaries, he says that the word for saints, agioi, thus exhibits the Christian church in its normal aspect. A community of men self-devoted to God, and in his service. And the word means that you are to be separated unto God, and we are to be representative of God's character, his attributes to this world. It is the one who demonstrates God's purposes to those that are around them. And so our person is to be described both as holy and wholly his. Holy in the sense of being unique and separated, but holy in the sense of being completely, everything about us belonging to God. Let me ask you, young person, are you wholly his? Has retirement changed the way you see life? That now you are living for yourself? At the point when you have a confrontation of dilemma, a choice is to be made. What makes the choice for you? Are you holy in the sense that everything that I have belongs to him, and that I truly represent the character, the attributes, and the qualities that depict the person of God? What does your Instagram talk about? What does my Snapchat, that nobody else can see but for that fleeting moment, what does that reveal of my character? And my posts and the things that I say that gets out into the world, is that really who I am? Is that really reflecting the person of Christ? The things that nobody sees. We live in the most private generation today. They figured out ways to hide themselves. But what does it really reveal, the things that we're willing to do even when we think that nobody's looking? So let me ask you, are you a saint? Is that really you? Or are you reading someone else's mail? You see, this being a holy people is not really about us at all. There's two aspects of this phrase that I need you to understand, this word that he uses here, to those that are the saints in Christ Jesus. First of all, you need to understand that Christ is responsible for making it happen. In other words, you didn't make it happen. God did, specifically through the working of Jesus Christ. That when he died for your sins, and understand that it's not based upon any holiness that's found within you, because Christ separated you. He saves you. He bought you, redeemed you through his precious blood on the cross. He, God, is the one who then identifies you as being holy his. How does that make you feel? And see, that's what I've had some great interactions over the last few weeks about this very thing. What makes me a sinner? Well, it's because I lied and I cheated and I stole. I said, no, that's the fruits of what I am. What made me a sinner is because I stood as a rebel against God. I stood as one who could live life independent of God and thinking in my mindset that I do not need him in my life. I can live independent of his relationship with me. I can exist and I am in control. And in that confrontation, we have defrauded, we have defamed the glory of God, and we have come up short consistently from who He is. And we consistently rob Him of His authority. We rob Him of His autonomy. We rob Him of His position as God. And in that, I dwell in the presence of rebellion. I stand at odds against God. And in that activity of heart, and in that mindset, I then do the things that are characteristic of a life that is independent of God. I do anything and everything that is counterintuitive to the very character, the nature, the person of God. And so the sin that I perform are the fruits and the evidences of a heart that is in rebellion against God. And so when I understand then that my salvation is not dependent upon me at all, it's dependent upon the work of Jesus Christ, and it is just simply by faith, trusting in something He has done, I put myself into a place of humility and a place of total dependence and trust in someone else's kindness and grace and mercy, and I am completely trusting in His sufficiency and not anything that I've done. And so therefore, as I enter into this relationship with Him, He then begins the transforming work. He then initiates me into a new kingdom, a new place, a new position, a new title. He identifies me as being, now, H-O-L-Y, holy. But do I behave as such? Do I live as such? I've been brought out of the kingdom of darkness. I've been brought out of the power of sin. I've been brought out of all of that. And I have a God who loves me, who has given me everything that I need, both in this world and the world to come. But where do you find yourself, and where do I find myself most often? Resisting that. Still wanting to take things back on. I still want to do it my way. And so I wrestle with this power of control in my life. Who has the authority over me? Who gets the right to say that now this is the way I should live? And how do I feel about that? You and I are to be shaped in this relationship because He has made it possible. Has there been a time in your life when you humbly saw yourself as an enemy of God? Has there been a time in your life when you saw yourself as a sinner? Not that God was the magic genie that would come and fix all the problems of your life if you just believed in Him and that He would make everything work out okay. No. Is He God? And do you see yourself as committed to Him, wholly His? There's a second part of this. Saints, the aspect that brings attention to our thought to this morning, and that is that now you dwell in His sphere of influence. And what I mean by this, in other words, a relationship with Christ is now your new life and your new purpose. Inside and out, we are represented in position as being exclusively under His watch, under His possession, under His care. And as a saint, you are coming to see the world around you in a new way, with new eyes and under a new light. Or are you? Are you a saint? Are you living distinct from the world as the blood bought, the grace enabled, the mercy granted, the forgiveness born, the child of God? Are you truly His, or are only His by self-proclamation? Do you love Him? Do you sacrifice like He sacrificed? Is Paul even addressing you in this book? Would God call you a saint of His? Do you have a real and vibrant, honest relationship with God through the person of Jesus Christ? Or is it through your parents, or through church attendance, or through some ritual, or through some ceremony? Are you fully belonging to God? Do you truly belong to Christ? So if so, then this book is addressed to you. And it will challenge you. And it will motivate you to make sense of the Christian life. But on the flip side of that, if you are not truly a child of God, then honestly, you're only going to find conviction and confrontation. You're probably going to be bored. And you're probably not going to get much out of the messages. I'm just going to be honest with you. Because it doesn't belong to you. How can you find joy from a God that isn't your God? How can you have peace from a God who isn't your God? And how would you ever come to a place to recognize that for to me to live is Christ and to die is gain? If he is not your Christ, and that's not really what you hope is your gain. How will you read this book if it's not really written to you? And find any benefit if everything in this book is telling you that the purpose of your life runs counterintuitive and counterproductive to everything that God says, this is what will bring you joy. This is what will bring you peace. This is what will be the true gain of your existence. But if you're always at odds with that, then this book isn't going to really do you any good until you're willing to see yourself as the sinner you are and the rebel you are and truly turn your heart and your life over to his saving sufficiency and let him be God. Is he talking to you? I hope that we can find a very uncommon joy. I don't know how many times people had asked me, because I was the new kid on the block for the whole last year. What were you thinking? I don't know. I didn't know it was going to happen. How did you survive 2020? Same way I'm going to survive 21. I just had to believe and know that God was still on the throne, and this did not take him by surprise. Did I ever want to rail and rant against things? You better believe it. Did I ever just want to throw in the towel and quit? Yes. But in my humanity, when I began to understand that God is still God, it gave me a whole lot more ability to stand up against those things. And I could have joy. That's not what the world has, church. And what Paul is reminding us in this book is that when you have God, you have joy. And when he is not present in your circumstances, you're behaving as if God is not there, then there is no joy to be found. How do you look at your circumstances and see God in the midst of them? How will you deal with life, no matter if the diagnosis is bad or if the millions come in? Because see, that's what Paul does at the end of the book. I have learned to rejoice, whether I have much or whether I have little. And where is his joy fixated? It's because he knows God. He's writing to the Philippians. He's writing to a specific group of people. And he addresses them by name. He's saying, I'm writing to you that are saints because this book is for you. And those of us in the room here today that are the saints, that enjoy the letter that will apply to your life. And those of you that are not, I'm going to tell you right now, you can get in. You can know this grace that God has afforded. You can understand his mercy. You can have his love. You can have everything that he has offered to every other person who has received it. You can know the forgiveness of sin. You can know the power of God. You can understand a relationship with the one who made you. And so that this letter could apply to you. So there's really no reason why it can't. It's just about whether you will choose to accept him or not. I hope we find uncommon joy. May it come as we learn how to live in the sphere of blessing and hope that only comes by living in Christ Jesus. But church, are we saints? And I hope that that's what will confront you as we go through this book. Ask yourself, am I behaving as a saint of God? Let's stand together for a word of prayer. Father, I ask as we think about our opportunities in life. And Lord, I think about Carol Ann and the Ministry of Choices and those who work with them as they enter into those rooms day by day and have interactions with young ladies, even young men. It's because we belong to you and we see you and we want to show you not just simply that there's a better alternative and we just love babies. Lord, we believe in the value of life because life is precious, because life is something that was originated by your hand, something caused by your genius design, because you want a relationship with us. You want to have a relationship with us. And Lord, I think about everyone that's in this room this morning, from the youngest into the oldest. Lord, that has been your design from day one, to have a relationship with us. But yet in my sinfulness, in my design of my flesh because of the fall, I hate you. I despise you. I resist you. I don't want you in my life. Lord, I pray that you would break through that in the hearts. And Lord, I find it even in my own heart, knowing full well that I'm your child. Lord, I wrestle with choices and decisions in life because I'm still trying to decide who's sitting on the throne of my heart. Who is my God, me or you? Lord, I want to be a saint. I want to be holy and wholly yours. I want to be used by you. And Lord, I want to find joy. This world robs me of all of that. Lord, I find it in you and you alone. And Lord, I pray for that one that's struggling here this morning. I pray for that believer that is struggling here today. I pray that this study will show them that they're not alone in the struggle, but most importantly, that you have not abandoned and that you are there and you are God and you still rule and reign. And for that one that is struggling with that life choice because they are not your child, I pray that you would show them their need of you today. I pray that you would break through that pride and break through that resistance. Lord, I pray that you'd show them what grace looks like. Challenge our hearts today, I pray, in Christ's name. You say, Pastor Love, before we sing here today, I know that I'm a saint. This is heads bowed, eyes closed. This is just between you and yourself, really. It's not even really between me. I know I'm a saint. I know that I'm a child of God. There isn't any doubt in my heart. If this is the day of my reckoning and I was called before God himself, this is a place that I would end up. I would be with him. I'll be with him for all of eternity. Is that your declaration? Just simply put your hand up, put it back down. That's, I know I stand secure in my relationship with Jesus Christ. Thank you. Amen. And maybe you couldn't. Maybe that's a question that's troubled you and plagued you. Maybe that's a question that you know your answer. You just say, I don't believe in this religiosity. I don't believe in this God stuff. Okay. And I, you know what? I commend you for your honesty. At least you're honest with yourself in some dimension. What I will say is that it's not a truth we're living for, though. Because you will stand one day before a holy God. And that's just the measure of it. And what I'm here today to do is put a road sign in front of you saying, you don't have to go that way. You can turn around. If you're not a child of his today, why? What do you think God's going to demand of you? Do you already know what you're supposed to give up? Why? Why would God want that? Is it because it's not good for you? Then you already know it? What is it that keeps you from having a personal relationship with God? I hope that he will be able to show you how much he truly loves you. And if there's anything that I can do, even before we leave here today, don't leave today knowing that you are outside of his grace. Come talk to somebody. Come talk to me. And may Christ do the work in us. May we be the saints that we claim to be. May we be his. Let's sing this song as a way of closing here this morning.
Join me. Speak, O Lord, as we come to you to receive the food of your holy word. Take your truth, plant it deep in us, shape and fashion us in your likeness, that the light of Christ might be seen. In our acts of love and our deeds of faith, speak, O Lord, and fulfill in us all your purposes for your glory. Teach us, Lord, full obedience, holy reverence, true humility. Test our thoughts and our attitudes in the radiance of your purity. Cause our faith to rise, cause our eyes to see your majestic love and authority. Their truth prevail over unbelief. Speak, O Lord, and renew our minds. Help us grasp the heights of your plans for us. Truths unchanged from the door. Thank you, Pastor, for those words this morning, and looking forward to our continued study in this series in Philippians. Again, it's good to have Carol Ann and Tyrone with us this morning, and know you'll want to speak with them on your way out. And also remember, this month we've been kind of using the whole month to take a special offering for the choices specifically. And I think there's a basket somewhere out in the foyer or one of the receptacles there. So take a look for that. And if not, just make sure you designate that gift, and we'll make sure that it gets to choices. Lord bless you.